Welcome to Juice Podcast. I'm Emily Harmon.
And I'm Gwen Douglas.
Today we're talking about the Syrah or...
Shiraz.
Great variety. So Gwen and I, as usual, bought a bottle each and we just thought we should talk a little bit. We haven't done that many single varietal red episodes, so we thought let's choose one of the great varieties that we really enjoy. So we thought Syrah.
Yeah.
So what do you think about Syrah as a great variety? Like, what do you think of when you first...
I would probably say that it was one of the first red wines that I got really into, that I that I liked a lot. I think probably because it's juicy, big, there's some flavours that I could identify.
Yeah.
I also like things that taste a bit piney, so...
And growing up in North America, did you think, like, did you know Syrah to be Syrah, or did you know Syrah to be Shiraz?
Shiraz. We're drinking Australian Shiraz, generally in North America, I would say.
At the bulk level, or, like, just...
Probably, but, I mean, yeah, that's would have been my...
Cuvée Buffet, like, at the buffet restaurant, was there any...
Yeah, maybe around the time of Cuvée Buffet, and perhaps a little bit later, working in other
Cuvée Buffet Red, many shades of Syrah.
And when I worked at a cocktail bar, we used to like the sparkling Shiraz a lot.
That's so interesting that you had sparkling Shiraz in Canada. But really from Canada or
from Australia.
Amazing.
Because the sparkling that we served as our sort of like quote-unquote champagne, if someone wanted a fizz, was also a sparkling Australian.
Okay. So I thought you were about to say when people wanted champagne, we gave them sparkling Shiraz then. I was like, that's fucking...
No, we used to do like, we'd take the sparkling Shiraz and add like a little bowl of raspberry sorbet or lemon sorbet on top and do like some sort of ice cream float sort of idea cocktails that were quite nice.
Boozy ice cream. That's so funny. So growing up in the UK, you would assume, because, well, I guess it's all part of the Commonwealth, but you would assume that you'd get more, like, I don't ever remember seeing sparkling Shiraz growing up.
I don't think I've seen it much since, to be honest. Because I would actually happily drink some.
I reckon if there was more sparkling Shiraz that was cheaper and not... Because now it's actually quite expensive to buy decent sparkling Shiraz.
The stuff that we were getting was not expensive.
Yellowtail. Yellowtail with bubbles.
About like I came very close to bringing a yellowtail bottle, so
I know you kept threatening that over message and I was getting a bit nervous. I was like, but I actually, it would have been interesting to chuck it in.
Because we had the conversation when we did Sauvignon Blanc about Oyster Bay.
Some
of those things are kind of...
And I think that's the thing, all of these bigger producers that are making quite industrial wine are responsible for us getting familiar with some of these varietals, so they do have a place in terms of education, maybe not always the best education, but a good intro. And I think still, even on the commercial scale, that you can still see what Shiraz is all about to some degree, or not all about, but partly of what it's about. But
I have to say that, like, one of the moments, it was a wine that you'd brought over to my house a couple of years ago before I did the Court of Masters exam, and it was like a spritzy Vin de France Shiraz. And I remember it was such a great lesson for me in Shiraz, because it was such a
different style.
Yeah, it was sort of like a Shiraz on steroids that gave me the idea of like all the tasting notes that will be burned in my head forever. The sort of like pine needle, fruit, all the different things that now I think... Okay, that's what that is.
Yeah, that's your go-to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. When I think of Shiraz, I think of a wine that's sort of usually at least medium-bodied, but sort of medium plus to full-bodied. I obviously immediately go to the Rhone Valley, which is the home of Syrah. And I think of leather, I think of plum, I think of violet when it's young, I think of pine forest, like you said.
It's like hedonistic kind of like feeling about it,
Yeah, because it's dark, you're right, it's you're completely right with that, because it's dark and it's sort of moody.
Sexy.
But it's pretty and aromatic, like it's botanical to a degree as well.
This is like interesting. Like a being in a pine forest with the sun shining above you, where you're like in this like dark, cool place, but there's all this sort of like heat
and these fresh
around.
Notes as well. Exactly. Yeah, definitely.
So it's like summer day in a pine forest.
Yeah, that's a nice way of putting it, actually.
So
I think I wouldn't usually say this because we bought two different wines, and I actually have a New World wine, but I actually think we should have the New World wine first because I think it's going to be lighter. It's a bit of an atypical. I think if we, you know, everybody, when they read and they learn about wines, they're like, oh, the New World wines, they're bigger, they're riper. But now, today, things have changed, and there are people working and making, it's actually harder to blind taste wines than it's ever been. There are people making wines in warm parts of the world and they're making fresh wines, vice versa.
I guess, is that just a, because there's so much combined knowledge now, and
yes,
this sort of ability to share knowledge quickly, yeah, and easily, that people can have more in their,
and I think because, exactly, and because the consumer's more knowledgeable, more open, this natural wine movement has helped with that a lot, that producers like Craig, who we're going to try now, can be really bold and courageous and artistic with what they're creating.
I love the name of this.
Yeah, it's such, yeah,
it's, I like the font, I like the label.
Yeah, it's a very simple label, but it does speak quite well. So this is 2017 El Bandito, the dark side from Testolonga.
I love it because the font looks like the Lucky Luke font from the Belgian cartoons.
It is, and I love that every time he makes a wine, there's like, in the, obviously there's those ridiculous, yeah, there's a little jail barcode. And then there's also this, the little comments, like, so there was one that he did where it had a woman's like bum, like just in a thong,
yeah,
but a photograph on the front label, and I think it said it was something about like there was a peach joke on the back or something like that. How do you like those apples?
Okay.
How do you like those apples? This one says lots of fun was wine. What's lots of fun was had making this wine. Why can't we be friends? So. Yeah,
so I'm excited to try this.
So 100% Syrah. Craig's one of the sort of leading names in the Swartland, so that area an hour or so north of Cape Town, which has seen like a huge movement over the last decade of really interesting small producers. Like we tried Smiley together.
Yes.
That was, you know, quite a few that brought over to us in that episode on South African wine. Craig is sort of, for me, one of my favourite producers in the area. His wines always err on this purity and this freshness, and I feel like more and more they're getting better and better. So I've been buying Craig's wines since 2011 or 12. And I met him. He used to be making wines at this winery called Lamazook, and he left there and then set up his own project. And he was quite experimental, and his wines were very extreme at first, almost like abrasive, because they were so acidic and fresh. Not in a bad way, but just for some people, like, almost too acidic.
Okay.
And I actually said to him last week, I tasted the new vintages and said, oh, the wines, he's understanding them more and more, and you see the details more and more, and there is just this pure line in all of them, and they're all fresh. So when you drink them, you want to drink the whole bottle. 12% alcohol.
Yeah.
What do you think of it?
It's really nice. And to be honest, I wouldn't have maybe pegged it immediately as being, like, other than there is,
because
like,
of
a real
fresh
juiciness,
acidity.
But yeah, it is quite, like, light and... There's sort of a delicateness about it that I didn't necessarily expect.
Yeah. I mean, 12% cereal, we don't get to try too often, but I love that it's still got the spiciness. I love that it's got this violety character to it. It's just got less of those more animally savoury notes sometimes we associate Syrah from the Northern Rhone.
Oh, it's really nice.
And it's not like Shiraz from Australia that's really compact and deep. This is like pure, fresh, almost like Beaujolais style.
Totally, exactly. I think this is a good beer. Definitely
this is Syrah for the Gamay drinker.
Yes. Like, I would definitely, which is not something I would ever think to say, like, oh, you like a Gamay, have a Shiraz.
Yeah.
But this is, very surprising.
Food pairing.
Hang on, let's have a think about it. I mean, I think you could have a lot of things with this. I feel like it would probably make a really nice risotto.
Oh, that's a nice, yeah.
But I was thinking even just like a simple minute steak and potatoes with, like, choice on my cook. Yeah, something super simple I think would work. Like, I would have this, like, on a weekday dinner, drink this with something easy.
Roast chicken.
Yeah, roast chicken, little, you know, pork chop.
And what about, I mean, or Chinese
potatoes.
Food?
Oh, yeah. I just want to have it with, like, potatoes and creme fraiche and chives. A baked potato. Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah, or if you needed to pair, if you wanted to, like, pair Syrah with, maybe needs the loop. If you wanted to pair, like, Syrah with, like, raw meat, like, maybe, like, steak tartare would be quite nice, actually, because it's not too heavy, but it's got enough acidity.
That actually would be very nice.
Yeah. Steak tartare or, like, some, like, vitello crudo or something like that would be quite nice.
Yeah, I think what you just said with the tartare is a fab idea.
Yeah.
It would be so nice with, like, little capers, pickles, and mayo, and...
Yeah, definitely.
Yum.
So when I have tartare, I don't want something too strong, but no. I want something that's got some character. Nice with a bit of spice and also the good acidity
as
well.
I think the acidity is perfect for it. Yeah, very nice.
Shall we, I'd love to try what you've got over there. I can see that we've got empty glasses.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we better fill up.
So, I've brought a 2016 Crozes Hermitage, Appellation Crozes Hermitage Contrôlée, from Alain Gréaud.
Ah, the man.
So,
the man, the legend.
I know that you know of the man. I did not. I just thought this was a classic-looking Rhone.
So one of the only, funnily enough, one of the only Syrahs that I like from Morocco, mm-hmm. and actually one of the only red ones that I really, really like from Morocco, is an Alain Gréaud project as
well. Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, he's making wine in Morocco.
It's called Tandem, or Tandem.
Oh, amazing.
So that is French Tandem.
Tandem, yeah?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, very nice.
Yeah. So, iconic producer, and I guess what's really good, that I mean, the wines for Crozes Hermitage, obviously they're a little bit more expensive than other producers, but I think the wines are really good, and he's kind of a specialist in Syrah, because most of his vineyards are 100% Syrah. Yeah. So let's have a, if you don't
mind.
So
when we were looking up, he used to work in, what was the work he left behind to become a winemaker? He was in some sort of like eco-chemistry.
Yeah, agrochemistry,
that was it.
Agrochemistry before.
Which means he has obviously an interesting approach.
Yeah, so he had a career in agrochemicals in 85. Left that in 85, sorry, and then he rented out some parcels of vine, slowly got more and more, owned his own vineyards eventually. And he's quite a well-respected, well-considered producer in the Rhone, who also consults on a number of different projects. You know, I went to Venice recently and I tried those wines Orto, which are made on Sant'Erasmo Island. He consulted on the vinification there and works with a number of different growers in different places. So he's got a good understanding of, I think, making terroir-driven wines that represent the great variety and where they come from.
Yeah, very cool.
And also the person. Terroir's also the person, I think, as well. But this, it could be nothing else than the Rhone. When you smell this wine, the perfume.
Yeah, it's really...
It's got this violety, almost rose petal. Yeah. Like, it's really a leathery, almost like baked earth sort of notes. Briny, olive brine, tapenade.
Yes, totally.
I mean, it's a lot more complex. I think it is really more expensive as well.
Definitely makes my mouth water. I don't remember what I paid for it because I bought two cases of wine at the same time, so.
This is definitely when you're eating like Sunday lamb, mm-hmm. like a roast dinner with lamb, roast lunch, Sundays. This would be a hell of a wine.
This one
lamb
definitely
has with capers and tapen, like mm-hmm. lamb, olive, capers, like that's what I'm thinking.
I mean, you're
thinking.
Speaking my language, those are all the things I love to eat.
Yeah, except the lamb.
Except the lamb bit. Maybe with this it would be more
Most powerful. Of the time you're eating it without knowing.
I know, well that's top to my honey, Lucas.
Ooh, sorry, I just kicked the bucket.
But this has quite a, like, it's very crunchy.
Yeah.
Like there's a big, like,
again,
snap.
Good acidity, but you're right, more tannin, like it's got a little bit more grippiness to it.
Yeah. I want to sit in a log cabin.
Oh, yeah. You've just got out of the sauna or something. You're in, like, in Scandinavia. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you're in Canada because you're Canadian.
It's kind of the same thing, to be honest. Looks the same.
That's a nice idea, actually. Come out, it's snow out. So it's not very seasonal for right now.
You've got, like, a little bit of a... But even a log cabin in the summer on a cool night, if you're up in the mountains or somewhere, it's like...
I think the smell of Syrah
campfire.
Would make a great perfume.
Oh, totally.
You're right, like campfire.
Like this would be a
leather note.
Campfire summer wine.
Maybe like European summer, but Northern European, like English summer where it's still cold at night. And you have to light the fire because it's getting a bit nippy and you forgot your jacket because you were so stupid.
That's like every English person in England.
They were like, oh my God, the sun's out. It's going to be really warm forever now. Okay, it's 8 p.m. Oh my God, I'm really cold. I've got goosebumps.
I don't even think there's that much of a thought process. I've seen people not wear shoes and socks or coats and it'll be like torrential downpour and 5 degrees. The Brits are like,
mad.
I'm fine.
It
I don't want to pay that 50p for coat check.
I mean, to be honest, I mean, go look around Berlin as well. It gets a bit...
well.
There's a lot of people that look like they're from the Kevin and Perry film here, just like skinnier, that's all.
They all kind of look like everybody's cartoons.
Yeah, also looks like people have traded like parts of their shell, like shell suit sets, you know, like, yes. So they're like, oh, I'll give you my jacket for your jacket, so you see all like these mishmash like
I'm
80s.
I have been looking for a shell suit, but a complete one. Yeah. But I think all the trousers like spontaneously combusted in the 90s. Were they like banned in Liverpool or something? They were like,
so flammable.
Yes, they're like highly flammable. Kids were like smoking cigarettes behind the bike sheds or whatever and setting themselves on fire like Roman candles.
I mean, what a way to go.
Yeah. It's like some sort of Viking send off. Like your shell suit explodes and you're one with the night sky. Well, this is where this Shiraz is taking us into.
So. Yeah, the night sky. Huh. Up in flames into the night sky with Syrah from the Northern Rhone.
I do think that I would want to eat something with this, though.
Mm.
I think the acidity is probably a bit too high for me to just drink
well,
alone.
I could probably polish one bottle off, but if I was going for a second with somebody else.
Yeah.
I like it, but I think I've just noticed as well, which is very funny, they've obviously put the wrong label on this bottle of wine. Sorry, I've just got distracted
really?
From what I'm saying.
Oh,
this is the Magnum label. Look, it says 1,500 milliliters.
They were just like, fuck it, we're fine with these stickers. No one's going to read that.
Yeah, an illegal label, essentially. Alan Grayot. Take more care.
Tut, tut.
Yeah, you bad
naughty boy. We like it. We like the bad boys.
No, I think you're right. Even just like a plate of charcuterie,
yeah,
some saucy salmon, even. Something with a bit of spice, maybe.
Maybe a bit fatty.
Yeah, fatty.
Just something
definitely.
To like balance out the acidity a little bit.
Or even, it's funny, I also find like Syrah can go quite nicely with like sheep's milk, hard
Ooh.
Sheep's milk cheese.
Yes.
I
so can
some aged
see
pecorino
yeah,
or something.
Yum.
Yeah.
That'd be really good.
Yeah. That's the top wine. Yeah. I like it. Yeah, food pairing with Syrah, I always think. Herbal meats, herbal spicy meats.
Yeah.
In all its forms. Charcuterie, raw,
right.
With the tartare,
yeah.
Like we were saying before. And then like Sunday roasts, like, or even like, you know, barbecue.
Yeah. Because this could stand up to like mustards and condiments and things
yes.
with high acidity. It would be totally fine.
Totally.
Yeah, very nice.
Even like, you know, like you have like pulled pork sandwiches, maybe not even pork, but like even a beef burger in a glass of Shiraz. Oh my God.
Well, that's going to maybe have to be another quote unquote comfort food pairing. Doesn't quite have the same ring.
I know. Is pizza junk food? Is it comfort food? I don't know.
Is a
decent burger comfort or junk food?
Because it depends how it's made.
Yeah.
We're curious to hear what's your favourite Shiraz? What's your favourite Syrah?
What's your favourite Shiraz? What do you like drinking? What do you like eating with this, with your Syrah or your Shiraz? Do you prefer Australian? Do you prefer French? Do you prefer South African?
Do you have a line on some sparkling?
Yeah.
We want to know.
Who's tried some sparkling Shiraz? We'd like to know what you're eating it with.
We want to know everything. We're just eating nosy bitches.
Eating with it. We are nosy.
So, we'd like to hear all of that. Yeah. You can find us on Instagram at juice.podcast.
On Twitter at juice_podcast.
And get yourself a snazzy tote bag at juice.show. And,
Yeah.
We'll see you next week.
Anybody in Berlin on the 16th of June...
visit us.
Come down to a wine fair at the Mickelberger Hotel. Mickelberger Sommer Weinfest.
I'll be there skulking around.
Yeah, from 2 p.m. onwards.
Brilliant. Look forward to it.
See you then.
Cheers.
Cheers, Gwen.
Cheers, everybody.